part of it, of course, is associated with the Yellowstone volcano. It's only a few miles, maybe about 5 to 8 miles depth there, that you'll be at the temperatures of molten rock. So there's a lot of heat, and of course you need heat to have geysers and all the hot springs. The other thing you need is water, okay? And the Old Faithful area gets an immense amount of precipitation. So we have two components of the four components necessary for our geothermal soup here, if you want to think of it that way. The other two things we need is a plumbing system that allows the water to percolate in at certain rates and then to be expelled when it gets hot in the form of hot springs, geysers, and steam vents. And the volcanic rock that's in the area gives us that plumbing system, but that then also leads into the fourth component, which are earthquakes. Because the earthquakes have broken up the volcanic rock into a very effective, efficient plumbing system, and also the earthquakes help keep some of those plumbing pipes clean by breaking loose some of the interior deposits that form on them.
Dr. Hessler, next week scientists, your colleagues, and managers will meet to chat about the Old Faithful area's geothermal futures. How many mysteries could possibly be left there to uncover? It's got to be one of the most researched places in America.
Well, I don't think it's one of the most researched places in America. There's a lot of well-researched places in America. It's interesting that you think that so many studies have been done, because I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum, that there is so much we don't know about the system there. Frequently, visitors, especially young visitors, will express their amazement about how much is known about the Yellowstone volcano or Yellowstone geology or the geology of the hydrothermal systems. And after a few minutes, I think, of discussion with me, they understand that we're into the first paragraph of a book that's a very good mystery. And the other chapters of that book are yet to be written by future scientists.
So then what don't we know?
A lot of details. We have the basic concept of the four components of a good hydrothermal system, but key questions are, what's the sensitivity of these systems to the facilities that are needed for many visitors? So a key component of Yellowstone National Park is, of course, being open for visitors to enjoy and see their national, international treasures. And to allow that means we have to have facilities for visitors. We have to efficiently get visitors parking. We need to be able to feed visitors to allow some to stay overnight. And all of those facilities do have potentially some impact on the hydrothermal system. What this panel is meeting to discuss is, what exactly do we know about the system? Are there sensitivities that the park should be careful of? Are there not sensitivities that the park doesn't have to worry about? And then also to make observations about perhaps future key observations that might help park managers answer some of their questions about the amount of development that is needed in the Old Faithful area versus the protection of the thermal features. No one in the Park Service that I am aware of in any way wants to harm the thermal resource, but they want to make their decisions on how much development can go on based on good, sound science.
Then how could these potential and existing, I guess, services and facilities potentially impact these features?
Well, the question is that when you put in human developments, you start affecting all sorts of things. So even in cities, when they pave the roads and all that, what they have to do is put in storm drain systems, right? Because when you have a big, heavy rain, the water runs off into the gutters, and the gutters overflow, so they have ways to get the water effectively channeled away from the city streets. Well, what used to happen before the roads were there is all that water would infiltrate and recharge shallow aquifers, things like that. And this is just any city in the United States right now, you know, I'm talking about. Well, we need parking lots at Old Faithful. Are they potentially affecting the thermal resource by changing recharge? We need to have water and sewer lines. Are they in some way affecting? What about the actual footprint of all the buildings? You know, we've changed that from what used to be in 1872, a totally natural area with very few humans, to probably the major city in the park as far as visitation. Some of the statistics I've been told by our planners is that approximately 90 to 95% of the visitors who come to Yellowstone, and that's around 3.5 million visitors a year, go see Old Faithful. And that in itself creates some massive traffic problems, feeding problems, taking care of visitor problems in the park. And this is not my area of expertise, but the park is looking at ways to more effectively and efficiently get visitors in and out of Old Faithful, serve visitors more effectively and efficiently. And a key component of that is, what's the sensitivity of the hydrothermal system? Because the park in no way wants to have more visitors, but then inadvertently end up impacting what the visitors are coming to see.
Wow, what a balancing act, huh?
Well, that's luckily I'm just the park geologist, and I get to look at the geology, but park managers have expressed their interest in getting good, sound science to help them do this balancing act in a very thoughtful and careful manner.
I'm curious, Dr. Hessler, how many times a day do you get asked about a potential cataclysmic eruption in the Yellowstone area?
It's cyclic, just kind of like geyser eruptions, anything else. Near the end of 2012, I was probably getting about a dozen calls a week because of 12-12-2012.
Sure.
And I think we survived that. At least I think we're all still here. And to be honest with you, I enjoy those questions because it's a great opportunity to get people to sources of information where they can do additional reading, talk to other people, and it is a great educational opportunity that allows people to appreciate more some of the unique characteristics of Yellowstone.
And what last question, what do you think, if something like that were to happen, some terrible explosion, would we have warning? Would we see it coming, or would it just pop?
Well, 2 points to consider. One is, as scientists studying Yellowstone volcano, and I'm in contact with most of them, they do not know if there will ever be another super eruption. You know, by super eruption, that just means a very big eruption, okay, of over many hundred square kilometers of molten material ejected. So very, very large eruption. Now, do they know that a volcanic eruption is sometime in Yellowstone's future? Yes, they know that. So there's a very good monitoring system that you can get online and look at yourself through the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory. Many different agencies are collecting all sorts of data, and the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory website is a web portal, so you can see all that data. And the USGS, whose congressional responsibility is monitoring volcanoes in the U.S., very much has their finger on the pulse of the Yellowstone volcano, and I'm convinced would be able to give us significant warning for larger eruptions and warning even for smaller eruptions. So I live, I work here, I feel very comfortable here. I realize it's a very unique place, and consequently, whether it be bears are scalding water, I'm respectful of Yellowstone's uniqueness, but I'm not afraid of it.
All right. I've been speaking with Yellowstone National Park Chief Geologist Dr. Hank Hessler. It's really nice to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thank you.